Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Anything's Possible podcast, where we say everyone has a story to tell and a step to take with Jesus. Anything is possible. And it's almost Christmas time around Crosspoint, which means for us, Operation Christmas Child. Every year we pack these shoeboxes, but we don't always get to hear the story behind them. There's so much more to this than I think what we realize. So we go a deep dive into this, just into this organization and why we do what we do. I've got Jason Yost on today, which works for Operation Christmas Child. Excited to welcome Ree Queen on the show as well. It's just a really important conversation for us. I think it'll help you know why we're doing what we're doing with these boxes. And so I encourage you to listen all the way to the end. And then this is going to be an episode you're going to want to share because it's timely and we want to pack these boxes and make a difference in people's lives. So welcome to the Anything's Possible podcast. Let me try another one on your feet. I don't think I... Okay, good. All right. Well, I've been looking forward to this podcast for a while because we get to talk about something that we're really all very passionate about. Today, I have Jason Yost on the episode from Operation Christmas Child, which is going to be the theme of this podcast. Man, thanks for being here.
Oh, man. I'm delighted to be here with you guys.
And flew in from where?
I flew in from Washington, D.C.
Which is home now, right?
Oh, yeah. The District of Columbia.
Has that always been home for you?
My adult life. I actually grew up in Ocean City, Maryland on the beach.
Okay.
I'm a surf rat.
Okay.
But then my whole adult life, we've been in the D.C. area.
Very cool. And I'm pumped today because we have Ree Queen on. This is your first of many appearances on the Anything's Possible podcast. Pastor Kevin's better 90%, I would say.
Well, thank you, Drew. I don't know about that, but thank you.
Are you pumped to be on the podcast today?
Very, very pumped. I'm especially pumped because of what we are talking about, the Operation Christmas Child.
Yeah.
Samaritan's Purse. Yeah. Love it. Passion.
Well, and that's why I wanted you to be on today. And I also love that we get to see so much of Kevin, but you guys are such you guys are partners in this. And I love that people get to hear more of your story too and get to hear some of your heart because this is big for you. Yeah. I got to see that firsthand. So we all met for the first time. Well, Ree and I already knew each other, but three of us, the first time we were together was on a vision trip that Operation Christmas Child does for pastors. I got to be the third wheel for Kevin and Ree. To Peru, which was where Jason and I were, where we met for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me too. Met Jason for the first time. Yep.
And had you been on a vision trip before, Ree?
Yeah, yes. Okay. I had been on two before.
Gotcha.
So that was the third one.
That's right. Because you and Kevin were there as pastors of the trip for them, which is really cool to see you guys work together in that capacity. But that was my first vision trip. And completely blown away by the ministry that Operation Christmas Child does. Yeah. And something that we've done as a church for several years. I know you guys did this as well when you were pastoring at 12 Stone.
Absolutely, yep.
And that's what we want to talk about today. So we're doing that again this year. If you're at one of our campuses on Sunday, you probably saw the boxes that were out, and this is the kind of the season where we collect boxes. But there's a lot more to this organization that a lot of people don't know. That's really exciting. So hopefully over the next however long that we get to talk together today, we have to unpack a little bit more. See what I did there? Unpack.
Oh,
see that? Exactly. This is no hobby. It's not a hobby. we get to talk. I want to talk a little bit more about the depth behind this organization. So first of all, Jason, tell us a little bit just about your story, how you came to be and kind of what you're doing at Operation Christmas Child and all that.
Yeah. So I'm an East Coaster. Born and raised in Maryland. Actually was born in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
And then we grew up on the coast. And I did not grow up in the church.
Okay.
Just our family wasn't churchgoers or religious by any means and didn't learn about Jesus or a relationship with Jesus until I was about 15 years old. Mm. It just radically changed my life. I'd actually had dropped out of high school, just been heading, down just a wrong path, looking for love in all the wrong places.
As they say.
Yes.
It's like a great song title.
It would be such a great song.
And end of the episode is bonus material. Ree's going to sing.
Oh, gosh, no.
Everybody stay tuned.
That keeps them to the end of the episode. They know Ree's going to sing it.
Now they're curious. No. Yeah, but it just radically transformed my life. And just started to make different choices and just believe in a different way. And for almost two decades, I was a worship pastor, worship leader. I fast-forwarded really quick there.
Yeah. Right.
But because of time.
Yeah.
And got to work right in the heart of D.C. with Pastor Mark Batterson at National Community Church. Wow. And just loved our time there. My wife and I, we lived in the city, which was awesome. We spent some time in right out of Manhattan in New Jersey with Liquid Church
as
well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. A large multi-site church there in New Jersey. And then we had two girls.
Yeah, brag on your kids a little bit.
Yeah,
and Shelly too. You got an incredible family.
Totally, I've got two beautiful girls. Justice is 6 years old, and London is 4 years old. Justice, her name means righteous faith, and London, hers is fortress of joy.
Oh, cool!
And they fit their names perfectly. Yeah, my wife Shelly, she's incredible. She's a clinical social worker. And the happiest, wonderful, most optimistic person in the world. She helps me
really
be a better person every day.
She's awesome.
So
talk about a little bit your transition from ministry to working at Operation Christmas Child. That had to be you're still in ministry, obviously, but just kind of different viewpoint. Talk about that decision and why you did that.
Yeah, absolutely. What's super interesting is when I first heard the gospel, it was a group of people that were at this church that had just come back from an international trip that they were helping build an orphanage and connect with kids and, you know, give them supplies and gifts and different things like that. And it was the connection for me that kind of sparked something. And so just my whole, as I was growing in my adult life, I was very interested in international relations. And so I studied international relations and working on my master's in that as well, which I'll finish one day. Kids kind of interrupt that. And then music was just something that I did.
Okay.
I had no idea. Of course, I didn't grow up in church, so a worship pastor was, I had no idea. I had no cognitive category for a worship pastor.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just something that I did and just God breathed on it. And so I just became a worship leader for so long. And then it was just kind of not really a midlife crisis. We're not that old yet.
You're not allowed to have one of those. It's a quarter life crisis you're having.
Yeah. No. But as we were just having kids, that changes things. And we just started dreaming like, what would our life be like if we did this or did that? Or, you know, to sum it up, we positioned our lives around like our jobs. And we just wanted to be like, what if we positioned our lives around our values and what we kind of want for our rhythm of life and family?
Yep.
And then found jobs around that or found ways to provide.
And that led you to Operation Christmas.
Yeah. Child. So honestly, literally took a huge risk. You know, I could have stayed, could have kept doing it, but there was just something in our hearts that God was just stirring. Mm-hmm. And so I literally just started applying. I mean, I talked with our pastor, our leadership there, and we actually went to counseling for 6 months to figure out like, is this something we just need to anchor into and plow through? Or is this something like God's moving? And so I just started applying to some remote jobs and just international relationships and ministry and got this connected with Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And just had already built relationships from my position as a worship pastor, just with churches all over the East Coast.
Sure, which is kind of what you're doing for Operation Christmas Child. A lot of networking with churches, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it just fit perfectly, just ministering to building. It's just church-to-church relationships resourcing churches in America or mobilizing churches in America to resource churches internationally.
Yeah.
So it's just, I love it. I love meeting people. It's kind of a core. I actually did an experiment where I took every job that I've ever had, even when I started working at 11, and then identified what were some of the core things that have been in every job I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was networking, relationships, connecting dots for people, and those types of things. And so it's just a great fit. I just enjoy it.
You lost me at working at 11. I'm sitting here thinking, I got a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old. I'm like, man, I'm going to go out right after this episode and find them some jobs.
I know. I grew up in a resort area. So.
Contributing to the family income.
I was a beach stand boy.
You?
Yeah, I rented umbrellas and chairs.
That's not a bad gig.
Surfed in the morning and
that's
just
awesome.
Yeah,
that's kind of what's up. So, Ree, I know like this is for you one of the things you are so passionate about. You love this organization.
I do.
What was your first experience with Operation Christmas? Can you remember?
Yeah, I can remember just being on the side of packing boxes. It was in the early 2000s, we were married but didn't have kids. So I'd say it's been about, well, Raleigh's 16, so at least 16 years that I've been packing boxes. But in the last few years, maybe even since kids have come along, just the realization of the impact, not just the gift makes, but the whole entire experience. And I think we'll probably maybe talk a little bit more about the whole entire experience.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so.
Is that what you love about it? Is it now that you've seen kind of behind the scenes, is that why, where the passion comes from? Because it's not just the box, right?
No, yes, that is where the passion comes from. It's that we are setting the table for the children to hear about the good news of the gospel. And the gift is sort of the first step to that. And so when they can see this, and I was thinking this morning, the extravagance of God's love is about to be told to them after they receive this gift, and the extravagant gift that we get to be a part of giving them in just the little things that we put into the box, it fuels me. It just fires me up.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. Because then it's a picture of God's good, great, extravagant love for them.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, it was so fun to see you and Kevin in Peru just getting right in there with the kids and dancing around doing the whole thing. That was really interesting. And you brought a box with you, actually.
Let me grab it.
Yeah, grab it. Let's just see. I didn't realize that you were gonna bring one, but this is the one that you actually packed for this year.
This is one of them.
Because this one is empty. This is just a prop.
This is one
could
of them.
Be filled soon.
I'll tell you the truth. This morning I was like, repack a box. Let me back up.
Okay.
All during the year, I shop for my boxes. So
you do?
I'm just, yes.
So you're always looking?
Yes. I'm always looking.
Really?
Because you can get some good quality things for cheap, like after Halloween or after Valentine's Day, after Christmas, or just if you're just perusing and you're like, oh, that little stuffed animal is very cheap, but it's a great quality. I'm going to pick that up. So anyway, so that's what I do. And so that's also fun. I'm a bargain shopper. But anyway, so I felt like this morning I was like, pack a box, Ree. And I was like, meh. And then it was like, pack a box. So anyway, so I did. So
this is your box.
This is my box.
Now, and people watching on YouTube will be able to see that. And but for our audio people,
and
this
is bulging.
Is like, the box runneth over. Can I open it?
Yeah,
I feel like
it.
It's going to be one of those jack in the box. Like, I'm going to open up and look how cool this is.
This is pretty.
Oh, so good.
So
for those that aren't familiar with Operation Christmas Child, and we're walking through the box, how does this work? So you've obviously chosen, do you choose like age framework? How does that work?
Well, I talked to my kids.
Okay.
And we've kind of just, we could pack boxes forever. Like truly we could, because we just love it that much. But we've sort of set, like, we've got four kids. So the girls take two boxes and pack them, and the boys take two boxes each and pack them. So we pack about 8 or 9 boxes each time.
Okay. Is something you do as a, like,
as a family?
Down,
we'll sit down, we'll get everything out that we've collected along the year, and we'll just sort of start like pulling things and putting them in. The basic box for our family is the same, but there's different things added.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, we actually, I told my kids, and this is just an idea, but I told my kids, I said, okay, this year I want you to just ask the Lord, like, what needs to be in that box?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a few years ago, so the boys were younger. The boys each decided watches needed to be in the box.
Okay.
Camden decided an Ariel doll needed to be in the box.
Of course.
And Raleigh decided, I think it was a necklace of some sort.
And this is something they prayed about.
This is they prayed about. Okay. And so we just trusted that the children were waiting. The little girl was waiting for her Ariel doll. And when she got the Ariel doll, she was just going to know, again, the extravagant love of the Father.
That's so cool.
So anyway, this year's a little bit different. Like I said, I've been shopping. But as I packed this one this morning, I just pictured the little girl that is excited to get a little poodle that's purple with pink bows. And she's
Am I allowed to rummage through here a little bit? I'm afraid we'll never get it back.
It's okay.
We've got this stuffed animal that's in here. Is there anything that you're not supposed, I mean, obviously perishable items, like you're not going to pack that kind of thing, but is it pretty like wide open? Can you?
Well, we provide a brochure, how to pack brochure.
Okay.
And it has items. Hey, this is a good idea. These are great to think about. And then there's a few small items that you don't pack, you know, toothpaste, stuff that's anything that can't deal with temperatures.
Okay. But that's all in. If we get a box, that's all in there.
Exactly.
We've got dishcloth. Yeah. We've got a ghost This is the Holy Ghost.
It is the
Holy Spirit
yes,
straw.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Yes, yes, yes.
We do have a bar of soap. Yep. Is that against the rules?
Hygiene.
You're allowed to have soap.
Yeah, you can have soap.
Okay.
Hygiene products.
I thought you might have been busted there in front of our guy, but you're still in compliance.
I think I did okay.
This is great, Ree.
It's just a and I'm thinking like textures, colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. Variety.
Lovely.
Facial tissue, a shirt. This is awesome.
Shirt,
so cool.
Washcloth, lip gloss.
I can't get through the whole box. I mean,
cup. No, you can't.
It's amazing.
Coloring books. Anyway,
I mean, you really. I don't think you could get one more thing in this box.
I've got to add a couple more things.
Are you really going to add?
There's a couple more things.
We're going to get a bungee cord to keep this thing.
But I'll pack it again. I'll get it.
Did you get that from Hobby Lobby?
Yes, awesome. I did. I got the hard.
You can actually get that.
Love Hobby Lobby. Amazing company. Awesome partnership with them where they sell the boxes there.
There's no way I can get this back together. So when you actually pack this box, you're thinking and praying. Now, you've had the advantage of actually seeing the kids open this. So you could probably picture the faces of the kids open the box. And, I mean, I'm sure you've got stories
same,
for days.
Jason, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's incredible about the intentionality of getting to pack a box. Not only do we benefit from it, because I take my girls too, and it gives them, it's one little moment that I can give them a world perspective,
Yep.
And I've heard so many stories. We actually have kids that have received shoe boxes that'll come and share at different places and moments. Yeah. And to us, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a teddy bear, it's a pencil sharpener. And I was just with a girl in Atlanta. We got to speak at Dr. Charles Stanley's church.
Oh yeah.
And one of the things that blew her mind was a pencil sharpener.
Yeah.
Because it was this like elephant looking thing and then a hole. She didn't know how to use it. She was playing with it. And then, because she said, we sharpen pencils with a knife. And then held it out. And then she said, once I saw an adult came and showed me and they were twisting the, she was like, I got upset because they were messing with my toy. And then I found out it was a pen. But she was just like,
it's brilliant.
Just that just opened her eyes to what's possible, to the love, the extravagant love of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A pencil sharpener, where to us that moment would have came
that's
and passed.
Right.
Sure.
You
know,
it's
just,
so you never know what. That's why it's awesome to be intentional and just pray over the box and each item.
You guys have so many stories. And we're actually, I want to link to some of the stories in the show notes here so people can kind of watch some of those. Because it really is powerful how God will use the things. And like you said, even, and I know you and Pastor Kevin will encourage people to pray over these boxes. Because even for them to get to the right kid where there might be even an answer to prayer. There's stories of that where someone would pack something that might have seen as random as an Ariel doll.
Yeah.
But it may be the very thing that a kid was praying for where they feel seen by God. They feel valued by God. And I just love that we do our part. Like we can control what we can control, but then there's so much also that's just left up to God. Like God helps get these boxes different places. Talk about that. So I know there's just some questions that people have about the boxes, about the process. So let's get into that a little bit. Where do the boxes go? So we pack them up, we'll drop them off at church. Then what happens next?
Yeah, so we have, this is exciting stuff, because like I was just thinking about anything's possible. Mm-hmm. Like if we had the idea today about Operation Christmas Child, you'd probably just be like, that could never happen.
Right.
So literally, thousands and thousands of churches are going to gather together to pack shoe boxes. We have drop-off locations, 5,000 drop-off locations all over the nation. They'll be within a 5 to 10 mile radius of your church, your office, wherever you are that you can pack. You can go on SamaritansPurse.com or .org/ OCC, and then put your zip code in, and then it'll show you all the places you can go and drop off, just super quick, super easy. And then they'll be processed in warehouses that we have all across the nation.
Yeah.
As they're processed, that's actually another opportunity that people can get involved in.
Yeah.
We have over...
Have you done that before?
I've done that.
You have?
I want to do everything. Goodness. There's a few things I still haven't done. Y'all have to tell me what I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
I need to do it all.
You're like the main ambassador for this organization.
I'm self-appointed, self-proclaimed.
But when you see what God does through him, it's really easy to get passionate about, excited, because when you see the effects of it. And I do want to get into a little bit more of the deeper dive of the discipleship element of this, which is so exciting. But give us some of the stats. Like it's unbelievable how the reach.
So it's 25 years. So since 1993, 168 million shoe boxes have been distributed in 160 countries.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's I can't. It's hard to even wrap your mind.
I know, totally. Right? That's why. And logistically, you would think it's impossible,
right?
But it's people coming together. It was a God idea that has just been breathed on. Mm-hmm. Like I said, even at warehouses, we'll have over 9,000 people all over the nation volunteer to be customs. Mm-hmm. We set up. It looks like an Ashley Furniture warehouse. It's huge.
Yep.
The boxes go on the thing. Anything that's not allowed, you pull out. You get to connect, and then they're shipped. So what a lot of people don't know is we have, you know, over 160 country partnerships all over the world. And so the boxes we'll collect this year will take the entire year to distribute.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we use Christmas as a way for us to gather together and use our resources in one moment of time.
Right.
But then we take the whole year
to distribute
the Christmas child all across the world.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because that was a cool thing that we got to see in Peru. Well, first of all, tell us about being there in Peru. What were some of your main takeaways? Like, what impacted you the most by being, or maybe one of the other places that you've been?
Oh gosh. There's a lot, but for me, one of the things that I was thinking about, and I just got my letter that we wrote to ourselves while we were in Peru, and then it came to the mail.
Nice.
And I remembered, I totally had forgotten cool. writing it. But anyway, when I read it, it reminded me, and this is what I was going to say, that just for me, one of the greatest impacts is the organization of Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, is so authentic, so just from top down,
and it
trickles down, and it happens with the leadership on the ground in the countries, and there's so much love and care. And that's what also drives me to be a part of something like this, because I'm like, they're the real deal.
So like, true.
It's the real deal, and it's, and the children that are a part of it are feeling it and seeing it, and lives are being changed because of it. So that's not necessarily to do with the boxes, but just the organization itself.
I will say that I would echo that, because when I came back, that was probably the main thing I remarked about when was the people. And I think I even asked you, like, man, what is your hiring process like at? Because everyone there that we met, from Chris Ramsey to all, like, everyone there was just like the best people you've ever met, like hearts of servants, just really believed in it, really. And I was like, man, you've somehow found the best people to work here and driven. And I want to get to this in a minute, because the staff is really clear on empowering the local leaders, which is what I love too. Because I think the humility that we saw on the team, like, this isn't about us. This is about the mission. And I want to talk about that here in a minute. But what I love about this is there's kind of a self-serving part of it, like for me with my kids, because I'm like, this does help me teach them generosity in a really simple, practical way.
And I think that's awesome, Drew.
Yeah, it's beautiful, because we can just pack a box. Because I'm always looking for, like you said, the micro ways that we can, like, do something small or simple, but teach a big principle of generosity.
Absolutely.
But the truth is, these are also impacting other lives that most people don't ever get to see all around the world, all throughout the year.
Yeah.
So one thing that stood out to me in Peru when we were there was, and I don't know how to say this right, but I think you know what I mean, how little the shoebox was actually a part of the whole presentation. So I guess I thought we were going there to see shoeboxes distributed. It was going to be this big party, and the whole thing was going to be centered around shoeboxes. Yeah. And this whole moment we're going to spend, I want to say that the shoebox moment at each one of these, like, kind of camps that went to might have been 10 minutes of the thing. It wasn't the big buildup. Yeah. It wasn't. Did you feel that way too?
I absolutely felt that way. And you just said that. And I'm picturing now, like, at a couple of those places where even when they're sitting with their shoeboxes, they are in a circle and they are just praying and saying, thank you. They haven't even opened the shoebox, but just saying, thank you, God. Like, it's, I get chills.
I know.
Can't. I mean, I'm serious.
Well, and some
I'm
of them didn't know they could open them. And some of them were just like overwhelmed, like almost wanted to like protect it as like, I don't. Yeah.
But you're right. The focus is not necessarily the stuff. It's what it leads up to. It's the Christmas child, which is Jesus, and how he can be the lasting change and the lasting best gift ever.
Right.
And it's amazing. It is amazing how that happened.
And that's what I was saying, because we were there in February.
Was it February?
Okay. I think so. Or maybe February,
it was
March.
February. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
I, that's what I was thinking too. Like, how are they going to bring Christmas into February? But because of how it was presented and how it was done, like, I just remember thinking, like, the local leaders had them pack up their boxes pretty quick after they opened them. And I'm thinking, no, let's play with them some more. Let's hang out with them some more. But there was such a bigger strategy to the whole thing that I think for me as a leader really helped with if there was any skepticism around or what happens next. And this is what I want to talk about, which I think is really important. Because I think there are people that are skeptical and say, well, of course you're seeing kids give their life to Christ because you're holding a shoebox up and say, hey, you want to give your life to Christ? Raise your hand and we'll hand you a shoebox. Which when we got there, we realized that is not at all how this process works. So talk to us a little bit about the things that we don't see about Operation Christmas Child.
Yeah, it's like we call it life after the box, which is cool. And so what happens is it's distributed. We have people that are from the country. They're all the leadership. Once it leaves America, it's 100% local leadership. We're there to empower because we're focused on long-term sustainability. Not just
Let's pause there for a minute because, Rhea, I want you to talk about some of the local leaders that we met. I mean, even like our translators, our your in-country staff.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're just so special.
So special.
And they believe in this and they're dedicated to it. I mean, their stories
and
are unreal.
Maybe not a lot of, I don't know the right word, many. I'll just say many. Are some of them or many of them have been recipients?
Some,
Okay, some would be the
best. A few of our leaders on the trip
were. Which is so cool.
Which is awesome.
Full circle.
And they're like, we call them our heroes. I mean, it's amazing because they know, like, and again, that's what I love about the ministry. You guys are familiar with the Enneagram, right? I'm an Enneagram 5, and so I'm an investigator. So I'm going to look, I'm going to analyze, I'm going to make sure everything lines up. Is this the best process? Is this?
Yeah, you're naturally wired probably to be a little more like, let me see what the real deal is.
Totally, exactly. And so I've done all this in my head. I've done all this before. But it, literally, like, as Americans and from Western culture, we can only know so much. We can only be so prepared when we're stepping into a foreign land to us. How much better equipped the locals are to know. And so this is a way that we can resource them to do what God's calling them to do, and we get out of the way. Because we're going to leave, and they're going to stay there. And so this gives them an opportunity to grow, and we'll talk more about how that happens. But basically, churches, once they're on the list to receive boxes, they'll do an outreach. And so it looks kind of similar to a kids' church outreach here.
Like a VBS type deal or something like that.
They'll invite kids from all over the place, and they'll say, hey, we can handle this many boxes. And then so every child goes through a gospel presentation before they're given a box. And the language that we use is that he's the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest gift. And so they talk about that first, and the kids are getting, it's like a little kind of coloring magazine, paper book that says the greatest gift. And it's like the gospel's harmonized about Jesus and his life and how he's the greatest gift for us. And then at the very end is when they, boom, open up and see the shoe boxes. And so immediately they're hearing about this guy that's the greatest gift, and then they're getting this thing, and they don't, you know, they're like, oh, what is this? I don't deserve any of this. I don't know about any of this. And all of a sudden, and all of it is clicking and coming together to give them a revelation of faith and hope and love. And then what's incredible is, we have a discipleship program called The Greatest Journey.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's
which
so
is
cool.
The long-term process. So every student there, every kid, is invited back to that local church by the local pastor and local leadership to go through our 12-lesson discipleship experience. And then they're able to graduate from that as well.
Yeah.
And so what's amazing is, you know, and anywhere overseas, they're more relational than we are here in America. So when they're coming to a distribution, the mom's coming, the aunt and uncles are coming, the grandparents are coming. So not only are kids coming into community, into church, into becoming Christians, but also their aunts, their uncles, their grandparents are coming. Then at the end of this graduation, they're given a Bible in their language. They make a whole program from it that's kind of stamped as, hey, this is what you did, this is what you accomplished. And at the end of the graduation, going back to your point, the students have to go through that 12-lesson discipleship, and then at the end, that's how we quantify Who gave their hearts to the Lord.
And right. So you're not counting who got the box. Uh-huh. What you're counting, like the people that you're counting, which I think this is an important distinction.
That's part of the whole integrity process.
The people that you're counting for salvation, to not skew the numbers, because it'd be really easy for you as an organization to you know, expound on those numbers or exaggerate those numbers. But for a child to be counted or a family member to be counted as like, yes, they've received Christ, not only they get a box, but they've gone through 12 weeks.
Before you're
at a place to say, yes, that is someone who's been discipled, or is that true?
Yeah, that's true. The numbers are cool, after they've gone through that. And again, it just speaks like what you were saying, just of the integrity of the ministry and the path. We're about the end goal.
Yeah.
We're about that end process. Another, just super quick, when you guys were actually there in Peru, and pastor stood up just to give his reflections, and he just said, you know, you guys could easily make a whole lot of money or cause a whole lot more noise by inviting anyone who wanted to come to see a distribution or give out the shoeboxes yourself.
Right.
But you realize that's not long-term sustainability.
Right.
The end goal's not there.
Right.
So we could do all these quick short-term mission trips, create all this hype, this Instagrammable ministry, but it's like we're choosing not to do that because that's not the best process.
Yeah.
It needs to be natural.
I mean, how many people would want, I mean, you probably get this all the time. I want to go on a trip. I want to distribute the boxes. I want to do these things because I want to, and for all good reasons, those aren't wrong things to think at all.
Yeah.
But people probably ask all the time, can we be part of this? And so even as pastors, when we were invite on this special trip, we were cautioned and warned as well, because we're thinking the same thing. Let's go in there, let's get in. And we were allowed to give some of the boxes away, but it wasn't without like, hey, just make sure you follow the lead of the local leaders, because what we don't want them to feel like as kids, that we've got these Westerners that parachuted in from the outside with these gifts. And, you know, we're the, you know, we wanted to empower those local leaders. Why is that so important for you guys as an organization to do that?
It's just because, you know, we're not, the gospel isn't we're the hero.
That's right.
You know, the gospel isn't, hey, we can do this. We have this money. We have what you don't have. The gospel is loving your neighbor. Mm. And that's the best way we can love our neighbor is to resource them and then to let them fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that helps.
That's so good.
When we're gone years and years, we're talking about all these huge numbers. It's still going to continue to go rather than us coming in and drop shipping toys.
Yeah. You know,
that's not the end goal.
And then also, this is another thing I learned when we were in Peru, is that there's actually a rotation of churches. So it's not the same churches getting the boxes every year. So if a kid gets a box, then it's not like the box is coming every year for them necessarily, right?
Yeah, and that, the whole idea is one child, one box, one lifetime.
Okay.
And again, that's another reason why we rely on local leadership, because they're going to know the communities that are the poorest. They're going to know the communities that need, you know, this, you know, more than just going to the same church, same community, same every time. We're relying on that local leadership to give us that wisdom and that focus.
So that could be the one shot the kid has at hearing the gospel. And I know this is why you and Kevin were so passionate about it, because it was the gospel. I remember Kevin talking about this last year in one of our leadership team meetings, was the gift is great, but the thing that he kept saying over and over is like, the way we present the gospel, like that's so important. And to be able to see the kids experience that and to hear that for the first time, this may be one of the only times they get a chance to hear that. And it's not like, well, we'll get them next year.
Yeah.
Because of the vision to get to as many people as possible, this is the opportunity. Reed, talk about how special that is, even to you. I mean,
oh, it's so special. As you're talking, I'm thinking about also just this. We've already mentioned it a bunch of times, but just how important the prayer piece is when you're packing the box and thinking about where it's going to go, because that's what changes things. That's you partner with the Lord in prayer and. You just say, look, here are my resources. Here I am. You use it as you may. And he just does. And it's, I mean, I know Jason's got a million stories. I don't have very many. But if we want to hear stories, I could just sit.
Give us one, man.
Give us one good story of
transformation. Or there's so many. I mean, you guys do a good job capturing the stories. And like I said, we'll link to a couple. But what is one that just comes to the top of your mind of like, this is so cool. This is why I do what I do.
Yeah. One story that comes to mind is his name's Alex. He actually now travels and speaks on behalf of the ministry. But I got to meet him in Dallas when we were at a conference and he was coming to share. But just, again, it's the numbers can be so big when we talk about 168 million, where the one gets lost, yeah, right? Yeah, and so hearing these stories remind you of the one. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have a saying like, do it, Lord, do it again, Lord, 11 million times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do it again for the one.
Yeah, 11 times. Yeah.
But anyway, Alex, he grew up in Africa when the genocide was happening, and his family was murdered. And imagine the hurt and the pain, the reality of that. And he happened in his community, a shoebox distribution came, and he was introduced to the gospel and started to follow the ways of Jesus and give his heart to the Lord. And just the forgiveness that happened as he began to think about those that murdered his family and him not being able to ever see them again, he ended up having the opportunity to go and meet the one who murdered his family.
No way.
And share the gospel with them.
Alex,
in that country.
Wow.
Man.
And at the same time, be a part of a distribution himself to that same area where he grew up.
That's powerful.
Powerful.
Like, that's mind-blowing stuff, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this. This is not about a commercial for an organization, necessarily. I mean, the boxes, Operation Christmas Child, it's about, I mean, the reason why we dedicate a whole podcast to it, the reason why we do this as a church every year and get behind it, is because it's such a beautiful, practical way of presenting the gospel, the good news, the hope of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness and freedom and all those things in ways and places that we may never get to. And especially a church our size at Crosspoint, we can tangibly be involved in bringing hope to people as a church on a large scale just by doing, honestly, something that's a lot of fun.
It really is.
Sure. I mean, you guys, I mean, this is something your family looks forward to every year.
Yeah.
Have a lot of fun with it and actually make a real difference in
and
people's lives.
What I love about this, too, is there's no age group that it fits. It does. You can, little kids, you teach them all the way to the blue-haired lady.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere in between, anybody can get involved. Mm-hmm. Anybody can have a good time.
Yeah, that's super cool.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit, talk to us a little bit more about Operation Christmas Child as far as what you guys value and what you guys do. We were talking a little bit before the episode, even about church planting. So there's a lot of things that you guys are doing that people don't realize. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, the three buckets, so to speak, of Operation Christmas Child, we call it EDM, not electric dance music.
Although that's also that's great.
Because that's
There's nothing
fun
wrong
too.
With that.
Yeah, that's fun too. But evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. So the evangelism happens during the distributions, again, where the families come and, you know, they're all hearing the gospel for the first time. Mm-hmm. Multiplication happens, which is incredible. So actually, pastors are using this to plant churches.
Yeah, tell us about
local
that a little
pastors.
Bit more. Yeah.
I just connected with HQ before this to see if
that stands for headquarters for people listening.
IHQ, International Headquarters.
The lingo, internal lingo is what I'm here for.
To see if I could share this because it's so exciting, but it's not published yet, but it's being published.
So this is fresh info.
Oh.
Yes. Anything's Possible podcast right now. You guys
breaking
are getting this
news.
For the first time.
Awesome.
Just last year alone, okay, over 1,100 churches were planted as a result of the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes and the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program.
Man,
wow.
1,100.
1,100.
Wow.
And so pastors are using these and they'll go into a community and they'll do a distribution. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, we have all these people that want community and want love. And okay, so let's plant a church. let's plant a community here.
Yeah.
And then they'll do it again somewhere else. And then they'll do it again somewhere else.
Man.
And it's even happening in tribal villages and different unreached people group areas, which is awesome. We can talk about that in a little bit too as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go there.
Crazy.
I mean, tell us about, because you're educating us.
Yeah,
the reason we're here getting fired up.
I just want all the stories.
So crazy.
I mean, he's ready to go.
In the last couple of years, just organically, we noticed that our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes were ending up in unreached people group areas. So that's two different things, whether, hey, it's less than 2% of people profess the Christian faith. They've never heard the gospel before. They don't have the scriptures in their language.
That's what would qualify as an unreached.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the Joshua Project, which is what most people go for. Or it's unreached as far as geographically. Mm-hmm. They're just so far out there. And so just even last week, our vice president, Jim Harrelson, and Edward Graham was at Mexico, where we just dedicated a church mm-hmm. for the first time. In a community that was completely unreached, that didn't have the gospel in their language. And we'll link the show notes to this, but it's an amazing story of a pastor. He looks to be an elderly man. I haven't met him yet, but he's probably in his, you know, 60s. He had polio when he was 2 years old. So he gets around from a scooter and use it, has a glove on his hand that he mm-hmm. uses to move himself. He had a radio broadcast where he was preaching the gospel, trying to reach people outside of his normal neighborhood, built a relationship with this one lady who lived in this tribal village of the Nodal people, and they had connected, and listen to this. So for 20 years, he was wondering if something was possible. He was thinking to himself, is anything possible that we could reach somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who's never heard the gospel? For 20 years, he went up this mountain, 5 hours, rocky, all this. That we had a team that went to show a video, and they got a flat tire. And he gets out, can't walk. He gets out and uses his scooter to change the tire and put it back. Wow. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have so many excuses.
Oh yeah.
I'm not loving my neighbor and doing things.
Right.
20 years he does this. And then he had an opportunity to bring Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to this village. And just last week, they planted a church of 80 some people for the first time ever.
Completely unreached people.
They didn't know Jesus, didn't have the gospel in their language. They're building a relationship. The children are going through the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program.
That's crazy, man.
Come on.
So cool.
Yeah.
And you have that. I think you sent me that video.
Yeah.
I think I have that one.
We'll put that video in the show notes. And again, that's what we're saying. He's our hero. Mm-hmm. That's one of the national leaders who knows the land, who know has the wisdom of his people, who knows what to do, and churches just like Crosspoint are giving him resources that otherwise he wouldn't be able to have. Because what's happening is, like you mentioned it, that this is kind of the first step. This is the first process. So why is this happening with unreached people groups? Is because this is a relationship builder. Pastors are getting across borders where they're not supposed to get, otherwise they wouldn't be able to. Where there's a language barrier, they're getting into communities and sharing the love of Jesus because they have gifts to bring.
That's right. Yeah.
And so cool. This is just an easy win for us in America.
Yeah. And it's
unbelievable.
It's wild what God can do. So, I mean, talk to the person. I mean, it's so obvious by now, so I shouldn't even ask the question, but talk to the person listening or watching that may feel like, man, it's just a shoebox. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll do one this year. I don't know. Yeah, we love to do it, but it's just, whatever. What would your encouragement be to those people that are just like, I don't know if it actually makes a difference?
Yeah, well, it does.
It does. Obviously, it does.
Do it because it does make a difference. I mean, yes, we've said it a million times. Do it.
Right.
Do it. It makes a difference.
So when you hear these stories, you're just like, it almost makes me feel like, how can we not do something this simple? And that's not a guilt or pressure statement.
No,
I'm saying to myself, it's me saying, and I think that's why we wanted to do this episode is sometimes we need a longer format like this to talk through all the different ways, all the different things this affects. And on Sunday we grab a box, it's fun, but you don't realize all that's happening.
Right.
Behind it. And I interrupted you a minute ago because you were walking us through the EDM. Did you get to that part? Is there more to it?
The multiplication that happens, and then the discipleship program that happens, which is great. And the discipleship, I believe, has been in 74 different languages and more. So it's like as we're connecting, even with the unreached people groups. Right. So in this case, we've actually partnered with Wycliffe and the Seed Company, who are translators of the Bible. And so we have this one incredible story that happened in the summer in South America, where the pastor went and connected and recorded the Himba tribe, their language, on a recorder, right? Because he didn't know the language they were connecting. So sends it back in our partnership with the Seed Company. Then the Seed Company, their team, figures out the language, translates our discipleship curriculum into their language, because it's not a written language, it's just oral. They don't have it written. And so then they sent back solar-operated MP3 players.
What?
And so we have a video of the pastor, the local leader there, has a tribe of children around a tree, and he's hitting play on this MP3 player. And
that's wild, they're
hearing
man.
The gospel for the first time in their language. And so this process has been so affected. What Wycliffe and the Seed Company is using The Greatest Journey, our written curriculum, and translating that into languages so that people can hear the gospel and children can receive it for the first time. Isn't that incredible?
So cool.
It's mind-blowing, and it all starts with this simple box this gift that's very easy for us to do.
I love that, and I love hearing the stories behind this. That's what, I mean, and Ree, you know this obviously, but Jason, like, stories for us is what fuels us. It's our it's our why. I mean, Pastor Kevin talks constantly about the stories is how we know that life transformation, life change is happening, and it's where the fruit comes from. So I just want to open, just kind of open-ended question, even just for both of you. We say everyone has a story to tell and a step to take on this podcast. That's what drives us. Anything's possible. So specifically on just what step can we take if someone wants to get involved, how would they get involved? And also, is there anything else that just is on y'all's heart to share about this that would encourage or inspire us when it comes to helping out?
A couple options, which are great that we have options, which is cool because, we love to have options here. So, our National Collection Week is November 18th through the 25th, so we kind of do it in seasons.
Okay.
So you're able to pack a box. You can get a box at Hobby Lobby. They're an incredible partner of ours. You can grab shoeboxes online at SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Or you can use any shoebox that you have, honestly.
Really? It doesn't have to be an OCC shoebox?
Yep. Okay. You can use any shoebox that you have. You can go online, see what your nearest drop-off location is. And
even,
do that.
I mean, ladies, go buy a pair of shoes. Hey. I mean, this is a great excuse to say, I need a new pair of shoes, and I can use the box to fill. You're welcome, ladies, for
and
that.
Another awesome option, too, is you can build a shoebox online now.
Okay.
And so you can actually go online.
The digital version of it.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
And it's just like Amazon. You actually pick, I want this plush toy. I want this. I want that. And you can do it online.
Yeah.
But then also, we ask for just a suggested $9 donation, which is super cheap considering it's shipping all over to the ends of the earth. All of that is in that $9 donation, which is incredible. But if you actually go online and pay that $9 donation, you can track where your box goes.
No way.
So you'll get,
you can see what
you'll get a code. And then throughout the year, you can put your email in and find out where it went. Mine went to Cambodia last year, which is cool.
Yeah.
And so just a really cool opportunity where you can actually track your box only if you pay the donation.
Which is
online.
A big question people have is how do I see where my box actually goes? And that's a good way.
That's
a good way to do it.
So you can track your box.
So when this episode comes out, we have already talked about it on Sunday, but you can come to any one of our campuses locally and we're going to have it right at any of our locations around Nashville. Yeah. But if it's not, like, say you're listening to this podcast and it's February by now, you can still be involved, which in the ways that you just said, and help us know if there's other ways. But also one thing that you taught us, Ree, earlier in this episode was all year round be looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize that was something you're thinking.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
right. That's not the most important thing. But seriously, because you can get great things if you just sort of think all year round. But anyway,
there's even like Facebook pages of that.
Really?
Where people just shop all year round for OCC boxes and just whenever, Target's doing sales or anywhere you shop or whatever. Yeah. People can store all year round. And then, of course, you can do the build a shoebox online.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you guys would add to this conversation? I just want to kind of give you space to, if there's anything I didn't ask. Because I do want to ask you our anything's possible question. But, Jason, I'm just so grateful for what you're doing. I mean, it's hard not to be filled with gratitude when you hear about the work. Not just that you're doing, but this organization's doing. It just feels like humble to be a part of it. And we don't have, I mean, Crosspoint has nothing to gain from it. This is not a commercial for anything for us. It's just that we've seen firsthand what God can do through a simple act of generosity, and it just gets us fired up.
Yeah. And I love that, man. I appreciate that. And I mean, gratefulness is a good word for it. And that's the way I feel just with this position that I'm able to do. It's just every single day we have an opportunity to affect the world at large in a very positive light, mm-hmm. you know, and spread faith, hope, and love. And it's partnerships just like Crosspoint, just like you guys with churches all over America that do this. It's church to church, you know, yeah. church to church ministry. And it's just a really, it's humbling and it's a wonderful opportunity. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, yeah. So the big question we ask at the end of every podcast, yeah. and you can answer this through whatever lens you want. I mean, okay. we've been talking about Operation Christmas Child, and or maybe it's a both and. But we just like to ask our friends that come on, is just, if anything really is possible, we believe that with Jesus, anything's possible. Right. What is That's something right. that you're dreaming for? Reed, we'll start with okay. you. Is it, what are you dreaming for this? Or maybe yeah. it's just personally, I don't, you get the option. Now we are going to have you back on soon. So you may want to save your personal okay, answer okay. for, because we've got to hear more of your story. Too.
Well, this is funny because, I'm like we've said, and y'all have heard, I am absolutely passionate about this. So the talking about this Operation Christmas Child was not, but when I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to answer the question, if anything's possible, that has had me like,
Has it made
like,
you nervous to answer that question?
It's made me nervous.
One answer.
It's a big question. It is a big question.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's true, yeah.
But God in his sweet, detailed kindness, this morning I was reading in my She Reads Truth study. We're studying 1 and 2 Kings, and y'all are not going to believe this, but today's reading was about anything is possible. And in 2 Kings 3:18, Elisha says, this is an easy thing in the Lord's sight. And he was talking about things like raising a little boy from the dead, putting life in a barren woman's womb, mm-hmm. Providing bread, oil that didn't stop being produced until it wasn't needed anymore, making water come without rain. So, and he said, this is an easy thing in the Lord's sight. And so I just was thinking about that. And you know what I said to myself? Those are the things that I'm thinking, if anything's possible, that I want to see barren wombs come to life. I want to see things that were dead come to life. Yes. I want to see healing happen. I want to see provision beyond. We can't even imagine. It's only by God's power that those things happen. So thank you, 2 Kings 3. Thank
come
you,
on, girl.
Elisha.
You better preach. You better
seriously,
preach.
Seriously, that's what come I'm that's
But
I'm,
I love that. What did he say in the beginning, though? Of like,
this is an easy thing in the Lord's
So the
sight.
Things that we Look think that. Are might even be impossible, he's saying
right.
there's
yes,
a perspective shift.
This Simplify, is an easy yeah. thing in the Lord's sight. The things that we think are impossible, this is an easy this thing in easy. The Lord's sight. 2 Kings 3:18.
That was good. Man, I'm sorry you got to follow that.
I'm sorry.
Regis brought the
but,
fire.
But yeah. the thing is, yeah. is that I was so stressing and I was asking the Lord and he answered. Right. And that's also cool because
that is
that's
cool.
the thing. Okay, yep.
That's
sorry.
Great.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy. What about you?
I'll speak on behalf of Operation Christmas Child
yeah.
and then Jason Yost as well.
Sure.
And I want to say a quote that's really kind of the foundation of it all. A quote that I heard on a podcast recently was, how can you be, or how can they be if they haven't seen, mm. you know, how can you be if you can't see? Mm. And that's just the idea of, it's hard to believe that anything's possible if you haven't seen it possible,
yes.
or if somebody doesn't show you that something else is possible. And so with OCC, it's the awesome Operation Christmas Child. Sorry, we throw out acronyms like yeah. everybody's experts.
But right.
Operation Christmas Child, this year we're dreaming about 11 million shoeboxes.
Man.
So last year we did between 8 and 9 million, yes. and this year we yes. want to do 11 million shoeboxes. And again, the why in there is that when children see this and they see things they've never seen before and it's given to them in a way that they didn't expect.
That's right.
It opens up just new mm-hmm. neural pathways. You know, it's just a miracle in so many different elements.
And then
that
they
God
begin dreaming about what's
That's
possible.
Right.
Totally.
Yep.
And their communities change, their lives change, they're changing communities. It's literally unbelievable. And it helps you believe that anything is possible.
That's right.
You know, and then just for me personally, you know, this is a right hook, and maybe we could do another podcast on the Drew Powell podcast.
One podcast is enough for me. No,
but you know, just even personally, just with my vocation and just personal development, you know, I've recently lost 60 pounds
Woo-hoo.
And just have had a renewing of my mind in ways that I haven't in my entire life. And before, I wasn't sure if anything was possible, mm-hmm. you know, just with your past and things, you know, of your family and history and different things like that. I read another quote that was talking about, you're not a victim of your biology, but you can actually change your future, you know, with your thinking and just with God's help and all that different thing. So just that's what I'm thinking before for my kids. Like, I want them to see that anything's possible. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can actually totally go for it, and you can just dream huge and you can dream big.
That's yes. true. Yes. So true. Yeah. Well, man, you're an inspiration. Thank you for being on. And Ree, will you come back sometime? Will you do this again?
I will, if you'll have me back and give me all the questions so I can
give you questions ahead of time. No, you're great. You're great. Well, guys, this is great. And if you're listening, you're watching, we just encourage you, get involved. Grab a box this weekend. If you're listening when it comes out, get one this weekend. If not, go to the website. We'll have it all linked. But we'd love for you to get involved. And just remember, when you get involved with the shoebox, it literally is impacting people's lives around the world. And so, y'all, thanks. This is fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.